Morning, everyone, and welcome to the United Lodge of Theosophists in Philadelphia. Today being Sunday, we are Zooming as well as having in-person meetings. So we welcome you to come to 1917 Walnut Street in Philadelphia and join us for an in-person meeting. And if you do happen to come, we are requesting that people refrain from wearing perfume, strong perfume soaps, cologne, that aftershave, that sort of thing. We do have folks that do have sensitivities to these types of fragrances. So thank you for that. And as you all know, in the last 2.5 or so years, we have been very grateful to have had the technology to Zoom and remain together and spread broadcast these ideas to continue to do that. Our Zoom policy does follow the declaration, which will be read shortly, and we do it. We maintain anonymity. We offer no crosstalk or side issues. We do request that any questions or comments be addressed to the chairperson and not to use people's names or the initials that they have, just refer to as if, you know, like the previous comment was, that sort of thing. And these traditions are designed to make everyone feel comfortable as they are trying to understand and express these ideas. So we ask that we all work to maintain these declared traditions. The meeting will now be turned over to the chairperson.
Okay, unmute, please. Unmute.
Good morning, and welcome to the United Lodge of Theosophists, both in Philadelphia at Theosophy Hall and those on Zoom. We'll begin our meeting with a reading of the declaration and the announcements at this time.
The Declaration of the United Lodge of Theosophists. The policy of this lodge is independent devotion to the cause of theosophy without professing attachment to any theosophical organization. It is loyal to the great founders of the theosophical movement, but does not concern itself with dissensions or differences of individual opinion. The work it has on hand and the end it keeps in view are too absorbing and too lofty. Leave it the time or inclination to take part in side issues. That work and that end is the dissemination of the fundamental principles of the philosophy of theosophy and the exemplification and practice of those principles through a truer realization of the self, a profounder conviction of universal brotherhood. It holds that the unassailable basis for union among theosophists, wherever and however situated, is similarity of aim, purpose, and teaching, and therefore has neither constitution, bylaws, nor officers. Sole bond between its associates being that basis. And it aims to disseminate this idea among theosophists in the furtherance of unity. It regards as theosophists all who are engaged in the true service of humanity without distinction of race, creed, sex, condition or organization. And it welcomes to its association all those who are in accord with its declared purposes and who desire to fit themselves, by study and otherwise, to be the better able to help and teach others. True Theosophist belongs to no cult or sect, yet belongs to each and all. Announcements for January 22nd, 2023. The Declaration is foundational to all of the meetings and activities at the various United Lodges. All lodges disseminate the principles found therein in accord with the time frame which is appropriate to where they are located. These meetings are open to the public, and these teachings are kept available for seekers of this knowledge. In Philadelphia, 3 weekly meetings are held. For the Sunday meeting, the building opens at 10:30 in the morning. The meeting begins at 11 and ends at 12 noon. It is both Zoom and on-site accessible. Podcasts made on Sundays will be available at the website. Each meeting is on some part of a monthly theme. For January, the theme is the path of spiritual evolution. The forum last Sunday addressed the issue of the pivotal doctrine of human responsibility. Today's talk will be on becoming a co-worker with nature. And next Sunday, the last Sunday of the month, the topic will be aphorisms on spiritual progress. On Wednesday evenings, the library in Theosophy Hall is open from 6:15 until 7:15. The regular evening study class meets from 7:30 until 8:45. We are continuing our yearly study of the Ocean of Theosophy by William Q. Judge. Last Wednesday's topic was reincarnation. What is it that reincarnates? And this Wednesday, the topic is reincarnation, heredity as proof. The meeting is both Zoom and on-site accessible. The Friday evening informal discussion group meets from 6:30 until 7:30 and is accessible through Zoom only. Last Friday, we completed the collation of articles on Western civilization based on the sayings of Robert Crosby. The topic for this Friday will be announced later. All lodges are sustained by voluntary contributions of time, money, and work. If interested in volunteering, please contact one of the lodges as listed at the Phoenix website. Voluntary contributions are always appreciated. Straight Line Theosophical materials may be purchased on Sundays and Wednesdays at the Philadelphia Lodge. These materials may also be purchased directly from individual lodges, from Theosophy Company in Los Angeles, and can be downloaded for free from the Phoenix Lodge website. That concludes the general announcements for today. Next, there will be a reading, which will be followed by today's talk. This reading is from The Voice of the Silence, Fragment 1, pages 15 through 16. Kill out desire, but if thou killeth it, take heed lest from the dead it should again arise. Kill love of life, but if thou slayeth tanha, let this not be for the thirst of life eternal, but to replace the fleeting by the everlasting. Desire nothing. Chafe not at karma, nor at nature's changeless laws, but struggle on, with the personal, the transitory, the evanescent, and the perishable. Help nature and work on with her, and nature will regard thee as one of her creators and make obeisance. And she will open wide before thee the portals of her secret chambers, lay bare before thy gaze the treasures hidden in the very depths of her pure virgin bosom. Unsullied by the hand of matter, she shows her treasures only to the eye of spirit, the eye which never closes, the eye for which there is no veil in all her kingdoms. Again, the topic for today is entitled Becoming a Co-worker with Nature.
Well, on this path of spiritual evolution, how do we become a co-worker with nature? Well, it is very obvious to all of us that when we look out through these eyes, we see nature. In our widest concept of that, we call it Great Nature or Mother Nature. This is the external that we are viewing, the trees, the grass, the woods, the forest, everything that lies outside of us. But we know that nature acts in a very orderly fashion. But where does this nature come from? Well, we know it comes from that invisible that we do not see. And that invisible side is the side that produces everything. Proceeds from the unseen to the seen. So what is behind this nature? It is not a creator, but what lies behind it is that which lies all power, all possibilities. It's greater than any god, for it is an impersonal deity, which is divine spirit. It lives and thinks and perceives, suffers and enjoys. We know of the highest spirit. What we know of it, we know it in ourselves, through ourselves, and by ourselves. And how do we know this? We indraw our senses from the external to the internal. And what we indraw it to is that center. What center is this? That center which has the power to act. It is the law of karma. It is that power which comes from within and proceeds outward, incessantly and unerringly. Now, there are collective actions and reactions of every being of whatever grade, from the lowest of the elements and kingdoms, are all subservient to the law of karma, reaping and sowing. Law rules all the time and is built or matter, is built of all those beings of every grade, beings of worlds which preceded us. And he have evolved from above to below. This indrawing to the center of the self, we find the great cycle begins and takes up once more the duties of life. Action and reaction of being on every plane. As we descend from spirit into matter, we descend through the stairways of matter, from the highest to the lowest. Every being or every plane from which we clothe ourselves in substances of that plane, hidden within nature and natures. The body is simply the external envelope and states and stages of consciousness. When we are awake, we operate through the body. But when we are asleep, we do not operate through the body, but that side of our nature which is hidden. And we know that dreaming relates to the actions in waking state. Dreaming is a transitional stage. It proceeds as if we have or having minor initiations in dreams. We have premonitions. We have dreams of many kinds. We are always conscious. We look into space and we think it is empty, but it is not. It is filled with all of life, beings of every kind. And these classes of beings have their own laws that pertain to our actions and reactions, that there is the immense knowledge back of us, within us, which we are required to understand. So we come from the highest and we descend the stairway of matter until we touch the bottom, is where we are presently. As we descend, we take up the clothing of each plane of consciousness. And each plane of consciousness has their own being that this doorway that opens before us is both good and evil, that we are shown that these beings, these lives, can create
Can't hear you. We can't hear you.
Energy that was self-propelling, that was in the hands of one, was very beneficial. But because we are not
we're having difficulty hearing you.
never truly developed, because we are not ready to wield these powers. That the control of these invisible lives or invisible beings have to deal with what we know and use of them, because we can use them for great good or for great evil. Our body is formed under the same laws as the solar system. Organs correspond to celestial bodies, planes of consciousness. All planes belong to us. But can we accept the responsibility of these powers? Can we act each for the self of all? Because all of the selfishness of personality, the drive for rewards, the fear of punishment, understands law as progress. These laws who were said to have or perform miracles. But these were not miracles. They were simply the laws of nature, the occult side of nature. These ideas of water, turning water into wine and raising the dead, are all cult knowledge that one are not born with, but one begins to understand through study and otherwise. What is the foundation of life? For all these powers that we see exhibited within nature are latent in man. But how do we manifest these powers? And it says that if we give up thy life, if thou wouldst live, or live life, we have to live life of a spiritual being. All sheaths of our body will be at our service. It says that if we live life, if we will know the law. We are connected to other beings and other stages and other states of substance and all other planes of consciousness. True, which are not. We have to arouse in ourselves to take the path pointed out to us. Power to be a beneficent force of nature. Great breath. Everything comes forth, but that which comes forth first is spirit. But along with that comes spirit and mind. So spirit, mind, and matter is ever present in all of life. There is nothing that we see in empty space that is truly empty. Everything is full of life. Invisible beings, invisible forces, that all is being, all is coming forth. We are told that life is progressing toward self-consciousness. that of the human stage, and that all life is ever sacrificing itself in its move or its evolution forward. That by this sacrifice, we give of ourselves for the greater good. This translates into that life of becoming a co-worker with nature. We need to sacrifice the personal to that which is impersonal, to the fleeting, the everlasting. There is within us the knowledge to know. It is there. It is within our very being. And the only way we can know that is by turning our attention from that outward perception of matter to the inward perception of our very being. That which in us is the center, that which is the perceiver, that which is the knower, that which is the consciousness of everything that we perceive. Everything is alive. Everything is proceeding and evolving to that human stage. So how do we become a co-worker with nature? We have to understand what our responsibility is, because we do possess all of these powers. But are we willing to accept the responsibility of all these powers? Are we willing to accept the karma of our own life and our own living? Things come to us, and we know not why, but in reality, we have created all that we see and do. We are the masters of our own universe. We have the power to create. Through our imagination, we possess the power to create a new world by our impressions that we leave in matter. Because this physical body, this being that we are, is made up of all of nature. All of nature is gathered within this physical frame. All the powers of nature are gathered within this being. Our challenge is to recognize who and what we are. We are not poor, miserable sinners, but we are the greatness. We are gods in potential. We just have forgotten it. We have descended from spirit into matter. We have now reached the lowest point of matter, and we have clothed ourselves in that matter, and we have impressed it with our very being. Now, as we ascend into spirit once more, we are taking with us all those impressions of life, which we have so impressed by our very being. We have given life a photographic impression of how we have dealt with it. So we have either brought life to new realms of understanding and of vision, or we have cast it back into that of the savage part of nature. We have the potential to do great things. But the great things that we do we have to imagine that we can do. We do not and will not become great beings unless we make the effort. We are shown that this is possible by lives of great beings that we have come to know throughout our history, that have been pointed out to us, that have performed great miracles. But these great miracles are nothing more than the understanding of the laws of great nature. Being such as Jesus and Buddha, of Pythagoras, of Plato, of Kuan Yin, of all these beings that we have and have come to our attention that have done great things, but not as miracles, but as knowers of these laws of our occult nature, of that hidden powers that we do possess and that we do have control over, only through concentration and will do we endeavor to be an active force of the creation of life. We are given the path and shown the path by theosophy. Our choice is whether we will take up that path and how we will do it. The path is many, or is different for everyone, but it is the same. That path is the knowing or the doing of that which is the best or the better. That path of our duty to life and lives, our duty to be equal-minded in all that we do, to not look for the rewards of our actions, but to ever sacrifice that which we do to the greater good, to all of life, to sacrifice as nature does, to sacrifice the impersonal, to sacrifice the personal to the impersonal. We are beings on a great journey, but we are on a great journey back to our spiritual nature. That which we are, great and everlasting and eternal. But we need to realize that that knowledge lies within, and we need to uncover it by casting off by matter. Visible and ever-changing. We don't pretend to give you all the ideas on how to become a co-worker with nature, but only a few that perhaps will make us think of
Can't hear you.
It comes from our innermost being, the everlasting and ever unchanging perspective of life. To gain that, we must follow the path. And we must of how we become a co-worker with nature. If you have an idea, we would like to hear it. SL.
Yes. Can we go back to that idea of duty? And there was statement made that we have a duty to life, to the intelligences in all of life. But what is the role and importance of performing the ordinary everyday duties? Those we all face in relationship to our nation, our community, our families. It seems so mundane. But is it important to, in the performance of those duties, to also perform them as a coworker in nature? In other words, what would be the difference just between the mundane performance of duties and performing them as a coworker of nature or with nature?
We perform our duties to create harmony within the world, within our world and the outer world. This duty is that which we have created in the past, our associations, even our disharmony that we have produced. Our path of our duty is shown before us, is where we find ourselves in life at this present moment. Those mundane duties which we participate in life are for the harmony of all. But above all, it becomes our obligation to put back into harmony that which we have taken out of harmony, that which we have acted selfishly about and for. We are told that the world is made up of selfishness, unselfishness, and selflessness. Our duties lie in those three aspects of life. So we need to expand our sense of who and what we are. We are not merely this one singular consciousness, but we are the consciousness of all. We all share in this consciousness. We are not separate. We are united. We are part of that universal consciousness that we all share and we all contribute to. So our duty is wrapped up in that, wrapped up in our association and our connection with everything in life. So we don't act alone. Our duty is not for ourselves alone. Our duty is for all. SL, you had a follow-up?
There's a hand at Theosophy Hall.
Please, go ahead.
Well, Can't we say too, in being a co-worker with nature, that the idea of doing our duty, we have to look at the motive and the expectation of why we're doing that duty. And as was said about not having any expectation as to the results, because we are impressing those lower lives that are coming and going and are affecting nature, great nature as well. So if we continue to be positive and compassionate and loving, then we will be affecting great nature with those positive attributes. But if we do those duties grudgingly, wouldn't those impressions be affecting nature to a negative degree then? So isn't it our attitude towards the duty that we're doing impressing for the good or the bad?
Unmute, please.
Sorry about that. Well, we would say our motive is preeminent. Our motive for doing anything, is it selfish? Is it unselfish? Is it selfless? And it is very true that these very bodies are constantly changing. We are constantly exchanging lives that pass through our body, through our being, that are impressed by our attitude.
Can't hear you.
To a higher degree, or we cast it down to its lowest by the attitude and the motive by which we do our best or our worst. It is all in our motive to help and teach others, to be a co-worker with nature, to do that which is best for all and not simply for just ourselves. SL?
So it was mentioned the importance of performing our duty, but with the right motive. But it seems though, in order to have that right motive, or we might say the unselfish or even selfless motive, we have to really awaken in ourselves the awareness that we are one with all. So much of our consciousness, our everyday consciousness, is wrapped up in our personal being, our personal lives. Are there a few simple steps we can begin to take to awaken our awareness that within ourselves we are aware of something that's greater than our personalities, that's more eternal, more changeless, more connected with all of life?
Well, that is itself a very purpose of theosophy, is to find within ourselves that which is unchanging, that which is the center of our very being, the knower, the perceiver. That is where we have to stand. Not in this world of change, where everything is constantly changing. It is never the same. Our bodies are constantly changing. Our ideas are constantly changing. The world around us is constantly changing. But there is that which perceives change. And that is what or where we have to stand. And how do we find this center? How do we know where it lies. Well, it lies within the center of our being. And it cannot be changed because it perceives change. And that which is constantly the same is the perceiver of that change. And we are all that. Every one of us has within us that spark of divinity, that spark of all knowing and of all perceiving. And our duty now is to uncover that. And we do that by being quiet, by being introspective, by listening to that heart and that mind of being, unsullied by personal wants and desires, but ever looking to the sanctity of life, of all of life. And to do that, we need to understand that center of a being is selfless. And anything other than that is not true, but fleeting. The everlasting is that which perceives that change. And there are many ways of finding that. You know, look within, for thou art Buddha. And that is the challenge that we all face, because we are taken up with the external expressions of nature. But we are told to look within for that real nature, that nature of knowing and seeing and controlling that change. And we can only control that change by giving up this life, by giving up all our desires and wants for the greater good. So we can find that only if we want to. It's like theosophy. We can't give it to everyone because everyone doesn't want it. You have come to these classes and these meetings because we were looking for the truth, for the reality of life. Have we found it? It's here. We need to look. And we do that by study and otherwise. We take responsibility for where we are, and we begin where we are. Theosophy Hall?
Yeah, we noticed that MK had his hand up a while ago. And then we have something, we have a comment here in Theosophy Hall.
Okay, thank you. MK? We can't hear you.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, we can hear you now.
Excellent. Good morning, everybody. A lot of what I had really kind of goes hand in hand with the top topics that have already been brought up. But one thing to add in particular is I find that there's a difficulty with becoming more as one kind of loses the ego or tries to, at any rate, there does seem to be a struggle where cognitive dissonance builds up and sort of detachment. I find a lot of the intrinsic motivators for compassion and relieving suffering and engaging in the world are still very closely tied to ego and the self. And so I kind of feel a struggle in the balance there. Moving away from that seems to lead to a bit of indifference to a degree. So I'm wondering how to, I guess, manage that better, or what some techniques might be.
Well, we are personalities. We work on this plane of reality, or this plane of material existence, through this personality. And this is how we come in contact with all of nature. But there's something more than the personality. It's that individuality that is all of us. We are not separate. We are a unity. We only see ourselves as separate through the personality. You know, we cognize with this brain or this mind, but we cognize only through and that filter of the heart. The heart is the filter of life, and everything proceeds from that filter. So the idea of compassion, it is the law of our very being. We are beings of light and of love. We are eternal beings. We never die, and we are always conscious on either this plane or other planes of being. So our struggle is always with that personality, that ego, which is always in contrast to the ego, that which is eternal and everlasting. So we need to take that position that we are not this personality, but we are all
can't hear you.
For any further comments on that, MK?
Just a thank you on that one. I appreciate it.
Okay.
We have a comment in Theosophy Hall.
Yes, please go ahead.
As far as being a coworker with nature, there's a lot of literature out there on the internet and in some of the bookstores about ceremonial magic and, working with the forces of nature. Is this something that's helpful, recommended, or not, by Theosophy?
What we call of magic is simply the understanding of the occult side of nature. All these lives that make up the world in which we live, both the seen and the unseen, that which are called miracles are no miracles, but simply an understanding of underlying laws of nature on every plane of being, on the elemental, the elemental, the mineral, the vegetable, the animal, and the human. All our lives, all are made up of lives. So what we have come to understand of magic is simply a knowledge of the secrets of life that anyone can uncover. But our purpose right now is not to search out and uncover these powers that exist within us, but to establish a moral and ethical attitude and motive for living. So magic is simply the unfoldment from within outward. SL?
I have a follow-up.
He has a follow-up.
Yeah. Okay, please.
Well, the question is, should we practice ceremonial magic? Should we look into these books and these online things and draw a circle around ourselves and do incantations and whatnot? That's the question.
Well, what is it? What is your motive for doing all of this? What is it that you want? Power? Power? Well, that is the last thing we need right now, because we are ethically and morally crippled. We need to clear a way within ourselves for a clear perception of truth. And only way that we can do that is through a theosophical understanding of life. It cannot be embedded in selfishness. Usually that's the motive for getting power, selfishness. We need to learn, first of all, to become unselfish, and then selfless. And then these powers will unfold naturally within us, that they will become powers on which we can help all of humanity, help all of nature, become a co-worker with nature. These are not things that we should search after. These are things that will unfold and are unfolding before our very eyes. And as we progress from life to life, ever climbing that ladder, we will slowly unfold these powers that are latent within us. But we are told now we must establish our moral and ethical nature so that we can be responsible co-workers with nature. Theosophy Hall?
Yeah, there's a chat.
Better read these.
Yeah, I'll read it. It's, why is great nature giving us so much bad weather within the last 20 years or so?
Could you read that again? I think I lost contact.
Why is great nature giving us so much bad weather within the last 20 years or so?
Well, that's a good question, but it's based or founded on that one law, of karma, of cause and effect. That if we look back through time, there's been many times when the earth has been in great convulsion, great change. And we find ourselves in that time again, where we are finding, where we are gathering the results of our past deeds and thoughts. We have generated the world in which we live. The mind is dynamic. And through false ideas, we have created the world in which we live. That's why we are having so many obstacles placed before us, because there is no outside being, no outside God that will protect us or that will punish us. But everything is of our own making. We are so dynamic in our very being that we created all the misfortunes of life, both individually and collectively. So what we find coming to us is of our own make. Or can we be saved through a vicarious atonement? But we have to be responsible for ourselves and for all of life. That's what karma is. And when we accept the karma of life, we begin that path of controlling our nature, controlling our thoughts, our words, our actions. Everything proceeds from ideas. Ideas rule the world. So, theosophy gives us those eternal ideas, which we must dwell upon if we wish to change the world in which we live. Become a co-worker, spread, broadcast these ideas to all that we see and love. And change will come. But as we know, nature works on in a rhythmic pattern, slowly, but ever moving forward, ever unfolding from within outward. Any other questions?
We're at the end of the meeting.
Oh, well, that's why there's no more questions. We have taken this hour, and we have really just scraped the surface of how we can become a co-worker with nature. It is an idea which we must contemplate and ever develop within our own nature to become that co-worker. So, for all of us, let us join together in the common knowledge that we are eternal beings and that there is nothing that we cannot do, nothing that exists that does not exist within us. We hope you found these ideas helpful and engaging, and we look forward to seeing you or hearing from you on Friday and on Wednesdays, and especially on Sundays. Our meeting is adjourned. Peace to all.